Hey, you're Stocks from the 5 Yard Rush podcast, and you're listening to the Ballers Dynasty podcast. You're either here because you're in the league or you just got lost.
What's up, ballers? This is the Week 12 League Review Show. Helping me review the matchups, as ever, I've got Stormer here. Hey, buddy.
Pitsy, what's happening? You okay?
All good, mate. Everything is well, fine and dandy. Lovely victory for the Steelers last night, which was nice to wake up to.
Yeah, always good. Last night I had a bit of a two-way thing going. I wanted the Steelers to lose and a couple of players for the Colts not to do well, and neither went that way. So
that's your own fault for not wanting the Steelers to win. So
calm around. Other than that, exactly, mate. You can't get everything you want.
No, true. And back once again, joining us after a short break, Stocks, everybody.
Sorry, I just went for it there. Good, thank you.
Good. I'm glad that you are okay.
Remix of the Pirates of the Caribbean there.
Yeah.
just bringing the down weak assassins, you know.
Nice. Oh, the down weak assassins, I like it. Have you actually changed that yet?
No, that was literally just right now off the cuff. Oh, yeah,
nice. It's been, how many weeks has it been since we've had you on? Because we ended up having you on for quite a few times, quite regularly, and then things stopped, messed up. I don't know what happened. London happened. We haven't seen you since London. We haven't spoken to you since London, have we?
Thacker happened.
Yeah, Thacker happened. Bloody hell, Thacker.
Fucking, that took 3 weeks to get rid of him.
It was only because Thacker didn't happen, and then Thacker happened. It's been so long.
It pushed you on, yeah. Very true. Yeah.
And I feel what's happening here. I'm just, whenever Thacker's not available, you squeeze me in. If you need somebody, I get it. It's fine.
That's definitely not how it is.
Stocks, that's how I see it, mate. I'm on your side on this.
Yeah, whatever.
But you're here now. That's all that matters.
That is. That's what matters.
And I appreciate the slightly earlier start. You know, Thacker got a sort of what sounded like 6:30 in the evening start last week. So the fact we're going slightly before normal time is a bonus.
It's like afternoon, eh? Afternoon now compared to evening.
Yeah, what time? That's all down to my wife. She was away last time, so that's what got Thacker on earlier.
Oh, can we talk about that? Your wife goes away and you cook a breakfast burrito for dinner.
I mean, that was amazing.
I'm going to get loads of hate from this, obviously, but it just is in the name. I mean, you don't have Sunday lunch for dinner, a breakfast, do you? So breakfast burrito.
Depends on where you are.
No. I'm not.
Sometimes you can get an all-day breakfast.
Yeah, and that's what it was like. That evening, it was a breakfast burrito. I had a nice wrap. On top of the wrap, I put an omelette. Inside the omelette, I put bacon, some cheese, and some beans, wrapped it all up. Absolutely amazing.
So wait, now this is not what you told me it was. We've digressed instantly. So this is going to be a long one. Ballers, apologies. You made an omelette and then just wrapped it in a wrap.
Well, it was a well, no, right. So I had two wraps.
So it wasn't a breakfast burrito. It was an omelette wrap or burrito. Well,
no, because it was. It still had breakfast stuff in it, wasn't it? So I put the
breakfast omelette burrito.
I wanted the egg. I wanted the wrap. So I made the egg. I put the bacon in, the cheese, the beans, wrapped it all up. I then put that back in the pan and crisped the burrito. So it made it a little bit better. Chopped it up nice.
Okay.
Good.
My
breakfast.
We'll let you off.
Thank you. Right. Let's get back to it, Stormo.
Now that everyone knows that you make breakfast burritos when your wife's not there and you can do everything else you want to because she's not in the house. So, yeah. if you want to do something early, make sure Pitsy's wife's out. But when she's in, we'll just do evening pods. And in this evening pod, we're going to do highlight of the week. So, Pitsy, drop it. Good.
Right, straight in. My highlight this week, I've got two. And one of them is going 4-2. Right, Jags and the Chargers, absolute props to you both. First of all, the Jags doing it against the Ravens, going for two to get the win when they could have got the easy tie. They could have obviously lost, not getting the two-point conversion, but they absolutely smashed it. And the same with the Chargers. Great decisions to go for it. Go for the win always. And it paid off for them. So awesome work there. And then the other one is JETS, the end of Wilson, question mark.
Which one?
The quarterback.
The one that plays for the Jets, not Russell Pitsier.
Yeah, definitely. Garrett, on all behalves, is doing very well.
Yeah, that was a strange game as well because Mark White came in and absolutely wiped the floor with the Pats, and then the Jags and the Chargers didn't do Jags and Chargers things and actually got the win, going for two, which was quite nice.
It wasn't against the Pats; it was against the Bears.
Yeah, Bears. Sorry.
It was nice to see that the Jags didn't do Jags things and the Chargers didn't do Chargers things and the Jets didn't do Jets things. So,
yeah, it was good. Good weekend all around for that.
We got
brave, ballsy calls to it. If you ask me,
the Jets have got to be done with Wilson now, right? I mean, well, I suppose they've got to see what happens with Mike White because the last time he came in, he balled out. He then got injured. Then he came back and then threw like 100 picks. Yeah. So. We'll see how he gets on again. But in this system and with a better D, I'm hoping that he actually will do better things. So we'll see.
Only time will tell. So it would be good to watch because they're pretty entertaining to watch on against the Bears. So yeah, hopefully they continue that sort of running, you know, they're not the boring ass Jets and play some good ball.
Well, yeah, and they got both Garrett and Elijah involved, which is about time that Elijah kind of came back. He's a good player, and Wilson's not been using him, so
yeah, they've definitely got some weapons, so yeah, it's good to see them being used.
Right, Stocks, you've got us a highlight or two?
I've got so many, most of them are just my useless thoughts on what you've just said, the weekend, college football. I'd start with Wilson. This is year two, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously being a first-round pick, he's got 5th, 5th year option. Don't have to take that. Still 2 years left. With what we've seen from Baker Mayfield, our team's going to be willing to trade for Zach Wilson. And also, they're not just going to leave him out to dry, are they? Because of the cap hit being... what was he, minimal. second overall. So I just, and then obviously with Elijah Moore not being used from Wilson, that can't be a Wilson thing. Surely that has to be a scheme and playbook thing, because the playbook can't have changed that much that Mike is using Moore and not, I don't know. It just seems the whole, which leads me on to my second point, which is a highlight of the week, is you, me, Stormo, the generic NFL fan in the entire country, college football fan, we've got no idea what's going on in the NFL or American football as a general. I mean, you look at players that are scoring points, you look at teams that are doing un-teams things. I can start with running backs. You know, you guys always gun me for starting running backs with no name. That's because there is no one else. I mean, yes, Travis Etienne got injured. No one knew Jermichael Hasty was going to go mad for Jacksonville. You look at the Houston game, it wasn't Damian Pierce that everyone thought. I don't know whether he got injured as well, but then Dare Ogunbowale has just gone, well, 14 points isn't mad, but no one started him in the league, and there's a couple more I could probably find if I go down the list. Talking of running backs, Tennessee, third straight week that Derrick Henry's gone under 100 yards. I think it was Green Bay, Denver, and Cincinnati the last 3 weeks. He's gone under 100 yards in all 3 weeks. Are we finally seeing the turn of Derrick Henry? Has he maxed out? Is he on the downturn? I said it last year. I've been saying it forever. College football rivalry weekend. Just go and watch any of Rivalry Weekend. If you don't know what Rivalry Weekend is, they basically tee up all of the good rivalries for the whole college season in the final week of the regular season, regardless of schedule. They just always have these matchups. So you play against your rivals, and it is just possibly the best weekend in college football. Yeah, it's unbelievable. And then when Michigan go and beat Ohio State again, proving last year wasn't a fluke, it just sets the whole college football playoff with TCU probably being in it and stuff. It's just, I'm a massive fan of everything football related at the moment. And the best bit for me, my highlight is, I've got no idea what's going on. We look at it. We talk about Zach Wilson, Russell Wilson, the Denver Broncos, change play calling 2 weeks ago to Kubiak, the quarterback's coach, and we scored two touchdowns in that time. Carson Wentz has scored more touchdowns than Russell Wilson has, and he hasn't played since week six. They've got the lowest points. Denver have got the lowest points scored, point scoring offense in the league at the moment. And yet, before Russell Wilson had even thrown a ball, the Broncos see fit to give him a 5-year contract. At the time, is that a bad move? We're all looking at it now thinking it's a bad move. But is Hackett the problem? He's probably going to be a rookie coach 1 year and done. Who knows what happens next year? But it's just mad to me that the head coach can be at fault for a player playing so badly. Like the Zach Wilson thing, when Mike White comes in, suddenly changes the team around. I know the quarterback is important, but for us looking at it, they've changed the player and everything's solved. But that's not going to happen. Not going to happen at Denver. You know, you could change the head coach and it could still be exactly the same. There's so much more going on to this sport than I ever knew. And you think, why not just wait a few games to give Russell Wilson the extension? He's under contract with Denver anyway because we traded for him. Why do we need to give him this 5-year? But there's obviously something been put in place. These guys are businessmen. They are, you know, analysts and stuff. And this isn't one choice that they're one person making a decision. It's an overall collective and it's all business based. And to give Russell Wilson that deal, something's not right somewhere. I mean, the defensive line, I can't remember, Mike Purcell, I think, was basically almost fighting Russell Wilson on the sideline at the end of the game this week. And rightly so, you know, they've got a championship caliber defense at the moment. And the offense is absolutely shite. I mean, regardless of losing weapons and stuff, and I've gone off on a massive tangent here, guys, I'm sorry, but let's bring it all back round to something exciting. Over the last month, Trevor Lawrence, completely the opposite to Zach Wilson, is first in the NFL in November for... let me get this right. He's second overall in the NFL for quarterback rating, first in the NFL for completion, and I think he's tied second for touchdowns or something in November. So into the second year with what we know is a good coach in Doug Pederson. I mean, look what he did for Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. Trevor Lawrence, a.k.a. Sunshine, let's finish on a bright note, is finally showing what he was picked number one for.
Yeah, and I think that's what we want. We always want the younger quarterbacks to be good because then it makes the league so much more interesting. Like, you look at all the older quarterbacks that we thought, oh, what are we going to do when all these guys go, and you've got your Brady's, your Rodgers, Roethlisberger's, all these quarterbacks that were aging, and you think, oh, we haven't got anything to replace them. And then all of a sudden, yeah, Mahomes comes in, Josh Allen, the Burrow then starts, then you've got your Tua's. It just, hopefully, Trevor Lawrence kind of carries on that. As you say, he's starting to play some good football now, and he's got starting to get a good team behind him as well, which is nice.
Yeah, and then when you look at the class of quarterbacks coming in this year specifically, there's some guys who are as good as Trevor Lawrence, I think, in CJ Stroud and Bryce Young specifically. There's probably a couple more that could do well in the NFL if they land in the right spot. And you think, like you said, the old guard, that was everyone classed that as the NFL dying quarterback-wise, but actually it's just the eternal machine that turns over, and it's exciting regardless of who's playing the quarterbacks, because we're seeing that with the Jets right now.
Yeah. I mean,
because there was that weird period when your Winstons and Mariotas that kind of came in, you were thinking, oh, actually, these guys are coming up, and then they kind of didn't do anything, and you kind of felt there was maybe one or two years where nothing at quarterback was quite sticking with those awesome picks at the top of the draft. But then, like you say, Mahomes kind of turned up. You've got Allen turning up. And yeah, we've started to get those younger quarterbacks kind of coming in and going, actually, no, we've still got the NFL in a good place here.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting times.
Yeah, so yeah, going on what Stock said there as well, it's super strange. And like, obviously, we think we do know quite a bit, but there is so many, you know, variations and variables to things like change of coach, change of quarterbacks, you know, transfers and swapping, and that change can change a team and a player so much in a year, which is absolutely mad. And things that go on behind the scenes that go that can work for one player and not the rest, playbooks and things like that, that just, you know, can flip someone's career 180 and it just unravels in front of us, which is just mad.
Yeah, I saw a tweet today saying the cost to get rid of Russell Wilson for dead cap next year is $56 million. I'm not saying we should cut him, but I'm just saying.
And holy moly.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. But when you think we don't have any first round picks, that's not going to happen. But the fact that somebody's even put that out there is crazy. It's just, it's never going to happen. But we all know the power of the think tank and what it can do if there's a progressional movement. And it's crazy.
Well, that's why we love the NFL for how ridiculous it is. Like, it is the best in trying to make the worst the best. Trying to bridge that gap between having the powerhouses all the time instead of having Chelsea, Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal kind of being up at the top all the time. You end up getting Leicester City coming along and going, fuck you all.
But yeah, we are blessed in the way that the draft and the reverse handicap situation works, because it makes the sport, in my opinion.
Yeah, it does, massively. And that's the one thing that really kind of got me gripped, is how that draft process works, then all the trades kind of work, and even the league system with the eight different divisions, two different conferences, and then that, obviously, the Super Bowl to kind of finish it all off, which is a spectacle in itself. Bloody marvellous. Bloody marvellous. Oh, right, thanks, Stocks.
That was a good highlight, mate. your autobiography.
And that's coming out later in the year. I'll let you read that first.
No, that was good. I like that. Yeah, it will be. I like how these.
Well, we could use it for. Well, I mean, we're talking about the book club later on. Like,
yeah. Oh my god! As if people don't know and hear enough about me, they want to hear about my biography by me. Sure.
Everybody start reading it now.
That's the first book to get you into the book club.
That's it.
Don't talk about book club.
But yeah, that's the best thing about this pod, and I suppose about the league, is that you can come on and talk utter nonsense about anything and people will listen to you, which is, you know, cool. A couple of guys just getting together, and a couple of guys and a girl getting together playing some ball, whether it's imaginary or not, and then just talking shit about it during the week as well. Yeah, that's fantasy for you. My highlight of the week goes down, and I'm going to just phrase it as like catches. Like, the amount of phenomenal catches I saw this weekend. Some didn't count, some did count. It was just so good to see. I know DK made one that didn't count. D-Hop probably had two that were phenomenal. That Marvin Jones one for the Jags was great. I just saw loads of really, really good catches, and I was just like, fuck, I love this sport. Like, so I was trying to explain to a rugby player, they're like, it's just the same as rugby, but they just stop, start, and they don't hit as hard. I was like, yeah, the tackling's way more intense, but like the athleticism of the way they catch the ball and throw the ball, and it's like one-handed catches here and there. It's like, oh man, it's just so good to watch.
That's it, when it's done right, and it's done well with those special catches, special plays. It's just, it is incredible to watch.
Yeah, there was that Carter one for the Chargers, and then I'm sure D Hop got one, and there was another one we talked about in our chats, and I was like, oh man, they were just going off and just some phenomenal.
Even little things like, I mean, I know you'll hate this, but even the Raiders with Josh Jacobs in overtime running, was it 86 yards? Like, even yes, stupid plays like that, it's just special to watch, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Yes, it is, Pitsy. Especially that fucking play.
That fucking play. We'll get back to that play in about 3 or 4
but yeah, kind of chats. That was my highlight. Just I know there's some amazing catches every week, but this week I just picked up on some phenomenal ones, and I thought, you know what, that's going to be my highlight this week. The catches.
Love it.
Nice.
You touched on, obviously, it was chatting about fantasy football. Like, that is the one thing that Claire always takes the piss out of me. It's like, not only do you play a made-up game, you then talk about the made-up game. she rips the piss out of me all the time.
First of all, Claire, it's not made up. It's it's a real thing. We haven't just made this up in the boys' locker room and are just, you know, playing it in a
hidden... It's not Dungeons & Dragons.
All right. Don't go on the Dungeons & Dragons crew. I mean, they have feelings too. But...
I know. I'm just trying to make that sound slightly cool.
Well, we are cooler because we don't wear capes and stuff. I mean, come on. But it's I know what you mean, Pitsy. It's, and you know, I don't want to sit down and say I made a living, but for several years, I spent every moment of my entire life building a brand based on a sport that isn't a sport, based on players that aren't on the same team that play for your team. It's mad.
Yes, but we love it. So just leave us to it, and it's better than going out and getting pissed in the pub all every night and whatever, and coming home at ridiculous o'clock. We're sensible people most of the time,
and just we're not wife beaters because our wives own us and kick the shit out of us. Good people,
exactly.
Yeah, we don't wear the vests in our relationship.
No, exactly. Right, let's get to it. Time to review the matchups for week 12. So, Stormo, who have we got up first?
Okay, let's start this week with a crazy ride. That is Dan.
Where else would we start?
Exactly, you know, exactly. It's Dan and Ollie's season. Dan's newly named Finn Sliders. Nice. was taken on Ollie's Gotham City Rogues. Both teams have been on a roller coaster of a season and won, and this one's proved it. Dan went into Monday like 1 point ahead with all his players played. Ollie had Pickens to play, and the final score was 260 to 275, meaning Ollie climbs into the playoffs. Holy shit. And Dan drops out of the playoffs for now. Ollie.
Just like
read.
just like the NFL, like we were talking about how Ollie has had some struggles, he hasn't got a team, and he's been the bottom. And we've pretty much ripped piss out of his team quite a lot on this podcast. And then one trade to get Burrow and his team, and obviously we've already spoken about the Jets changing quarterback has changed their direction. Like the same things happened with Gotham City Rose. He's now got bloody 6 wins and 6 losses.
Like, one trade and a couple of injuries. That's absolutely bonkers, man.
Like, it's just nuts how his fortunes have completely changed. So, yeah, it's good.
I'm going to stand up for Duffer right now. I've had enough of the slander of the bad teams. You two are up there every week, you know, scoring this and scoring that, and it's utter bullshit. Me and Duff have struggled our way through. And now it's time to pay respects to the teams that are in the middle of the table. You know, there was none of this holy shit business when I was up there third. I mean, got no team, and I'm scrapping at the ceiling, and now Duffer's replaced me with this. It's good for you, Duff. I mean,
yeah. Mate, we were saying good for you too. We were saying how crazy you. I mean, especially with your plan of attack of wanting the 101, and you ended up in third place at one time. It's just, I was like, yeah, good strategy.
It wasn't my fault. I didn't plan for the win.
No, I enjoyed it.
Good little matchups, and yeah.
Yeah, and when you look at Duff's when you look at Duff's bench, he pretty much played. I haven't looked at the review thing for the league, so I don't know whether how high he is on his. You know, you get your score and what you could have scored, but there isn't really anyone that could have come in. I don't think that would have hurt Duff's score. So he picked the best team for the week, which is always nice to see.
What was his Titans score? Henry could have potentially come in and been a little bit better, but yeah, apart from that, it was good all round, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's been gash all year, though, Henry. Like, no one's starting him.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. That's true. And Dan's wide receivers, Bob Lamb, let him down massively. They all scored. Like, he's got two that scored under 10, which is his banker, Evans.
Yeah, and they just flaked on him massively.
Yeah.
Especially when he's got, was it Carter on his bench, 29 points? I mean, you wouldn't have thought that Hollins was going to score 22 points either, but he's come along and scored 22 points.
Yeah. And then his Kansas City Chiefs did him proud, though. Did him proud.
About time you put him in and got the points for him.
I'm proud of you, mate.
Has he got rid of his other defense, though? I don't think he's got another D on his team, so he had to play him. We'll give him a bit of slander for that. we've got to stick it to Dan at some point. I mean, to be fair, he lost, so that's sticking
it to him. He stuck it to himself.
Yeah, he really did. Tua kind of only getting 34 points. That gave him a big pain in the backside.
Yeah. 35's not enough for a quarterback, is it?
Not for a quarterback, no. Yeah, you need to think about your kind of quarterback decisions when your quarterback's going that low.
But it's not that easy, guys. Guys, not that easy.
Say that again, sorry?
It's not that easy. I'll just make think choices, you know, play someone else. Yeah, right, sure. I'll just try and grab someone who's going to score more points. Doesn't work like that. Jesus Christ.
Stocks is absolutely loving life.
I'm on a mad one tonight, chap.
Well, I'm having Stocks on this show. but yeah, Duff's on a roll, and props to him, as you know. Came from nowhere, pants, and you know now he's one that you got to watch out for as well, because this team's doing that well. So people actually, you normally used to go, oh, I'm playing Ollie, that's a guaranteed win, but now it's just not that easy anymore.
No, we got to watch out. Got to get your best team together and get that win.
Yeah.
So yeah, good effort. Yeah.
Good on you, Duff.
Ryan Stocks, give us the next one.
So the next one, being the second game, is a top of the table clash. Simon and his Fresh Princes of IR went up against the fourth placed Susie and her Pfizer Chiefs. The game was tight and went right down to the wire. Going into Monday night, Susie was on 281. Simon had 293, but Susie had Harris still to play. But Simon still had Paris Campbell, so he's been scoring well recently. The final score, though, was 303 to 298, handing the win to Susie. A massive win for the Pfizer Chiefs, as that takes a one game away from the bye week spot, which Stormo is surging towards as well. With other results going the right way, Simon, he's actually secured a playoff spot even with the loss. Wow, wow, wow. Well done, Simon. Najee Harris, that him leaving the game, potentially this score could have been even bigger for Susie. I don't know when he left Pitsy, but it feels early with what he scored.
It was only 20 points, wasn't it? So it was in the second quarter when he kind of came off gingerly. Quite early. To say that he'd already got 20 points start of the early second quarter, so.
It's interesting as well, because Simon put in the group chat earlier, indecision on Sunday cost him the win, and it is really close. We're talking 5 points here. I wonder what he was thinking. What was his indecision on Sunday that cost him? Like, who was, there's people on his bench.
I suppose when you're always starting McCaffrey, Barkley, and Eckler. Well, there's no point in that, I suppose.
I think it's those flex RBs, isn't he? Because
Wilson, Pierce, over middle Sam, sitting. Like, is it Sam JP Ryan?
Samaje Perine.
Big score. Samaje, that's it. Samaje Perine. He's kind of scored in 41 points on the bench, which I guess is a huge score to leave on the bench. And maybe that's the indecision that kind of went against him.
So, yeah, unlike Eustox, he's actually got off.
I have. Haven't seen the waiver. It's full of no names.
Pretty sure you've got no money, mate. Yeah, he's just, I think, as you said, he had Edwards, he had Perine. It's just too many options, too many people to play in those positions, and that makes your life challenging on a Sunday, doesn't it?
No, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Even little things like Devon Duvernay, he got 12 points on the bench compared to Tyler Boyd only getting 5. Like, those little changes, not that you kind of... I mean, Boyd, especially with Chase out, you're expecting him to pick up some more than just 2 receptions for 16 yards. And again, little things. It's always easy to kind of look back and go, firmly, and should I have done that? Should I have done this? Like, you chose your team for a reason, don't you? So you kind of put your best side forward for your own personal thoughts. And unfortunately, it just didn't go the right way for Simon this week.
But positive for him is already in the playoffs, or he is in the playoffs now. So, you know,
he's got a star next to his name. So he can.
Don't really matter what happens in the next couple of games.
No, he's got himself in the playoffs, and it's all good.
Just rest your players.
Yeah. No, don't do that. Brilliant.
Yes, it was.
Yep, Susie's just powering on, which was nice. Powering on. Right, up next, we had your game, Stocks. The big battle at the bottom, fighting for the first pick of the draft. This season has caught up with you big time now, Stocks. No big scores from your team right now, whereas Thacker is totally the opposite, taking another big win. Yeah, it was 209 to 350. Thacker kind of doing the opposite as to what he was planning to do as well, to be fair. He was wanting the 101 and now he's doing some crazy scores at 350. And he did the same last week as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he smashed it last week, yeah.
He did. And props to Thacker as well. He put in the chat earlier, you know, he's pretty much resigned himself to the fact he's not going to get the 101. And that's the right way to be thinking about it. You know, it can get to that point in the year where you think, I could do with not winning now. But when you score in 350, you got the moral victory last week, didn't he, with his high score and got beat just by Ustormo, I think. And then this week he's gone out and pulled my pants down, tied around my ankles, tripped me over and then watched me roll slowly down a hill. It's, it's... The thing is, when you see a team built the way Thacker's is built with, you know, Connor, Henry, Cook, and then some young receivers and stuff, to be doing well is good, because the worst thing in fantasy football is when you have a good team and your team was rubbish, and it just it takes it out of you because
you don't know where to turn.
Yeah, and you do what Simon might be doing or did, well, like you said he did, and you make an indecision, but you start your best team, and when they turn up, it goes the right way. And like Stormo earlier on in the season, he didn't deviate from his plan. His plan was to start the best players. There wasn't some good weeks. He got beat a couple of times. And now you look at his scores, and regardless of winning or losing, he's up at 350. And if you're scoring around 350s, you're going to be there or thereabouts. So it's a brutal league when you... Because of how the points are, when you get beaten, you often get absolutely shafted, which hurts. But I've got no excuses. When you have to start Joshua Kelly, Tyler Algier, and whoever this Ebner dickhead is. no, in fairness, I didn't know. Did Herbert play last? No, he didn't. What's in Chicago? Like, who's the second running back? How's this?
Khalil's on IR.
So yeah, Khalil, he got injured, didn't he?
Yeah. So why is Tristan Ebner, the second running back, not getting a touch? Like one touch. Give him the ball once. Just
on the sideline.
Yeah, so, you might get half a point in this league because you randomly get random points. And then I had Rango in and then he wasn't in. And yeah, I don't know. It's tough.
Looks like Darrington Evans is potentially taking those second touches, which doesn't help things, does it?
Well, you know, maybe he's on the wire and I can pick him up and he can score nothing next week. But we'll see.
But it is frustrating looking at your team. Like, it should be scoring. Well, no, when you look at Chris Olave, like names wise, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, AJ Brown, Mark Andrews, like Drake London, those are all names that you would presume would get you some massive points. Obviously, Drake London doesn't seem to be clicking just yet in Atlanta. He had a couple of good games where he did score some good points, and then he's back down to just getting two receptions.
Yeah, I think next year's the year for Drake London. Obviously, we all expected Ridley to come back next year, and maybe that might have freed up Drake London's role or whatever, or something might change offensively. Well, who do we know what's happening with Mariota? Are they going to bring him back? You don't draft Desmond Ridder to just have him do nothing, in my opinion.
Definitely.
When we saw him at Cincinnati, you know, the guy is built to be a leader. He had a wife and a child, even at college. And yes, he was there for 4 or 5 years. I think was he a super senior? I can't remember. But, you know, next year, maybe Drake London with Kyle Pitts back, maybe they can get something going on the offense if they can get some help from the defense. And then, yeah, Rob sent me, I was talking to Rob about a trade for Zeke. Obviously, I traded him to Rob. And then Rob sent me an offer after my plea of a starting running back. To be fair, it was a really good offer. It's just I didn't feel like I could give up what I would have been giving up for the sake of having a running back that can play, because I'm not going to get into the playoffs with this team. It's just not. You look at my scores, I'm not scoring over 220 points. So for me, being in the playoffs is pointless because I'm just a win for someone. Do you know what I mean?
I get that. Because getting Zeke at this moment in time right now would be that extra piece to help you get through the playoffs if there was an injury and you can slot him in nicely. But
I would be adding a player for the sake of adding a player to try and score more, which would be great in redraft, but this isn't redraft.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of not, even though you're kind of thinking we've got to play for this season still, it's also that, especially this time of year, we're also playing for next season now as well. And even though, yes, we talk about, I talk about the whole tanking thing and not wanting it to happen and making sure that people don't do anything stupid, like putting in Zeke for the sake of putting in Zeke isn't the right move at all for your team. And hopefully everybody can see that is, like, nobody would in your situation would accept or make that move themselves either.
Yeah. If that was the case, then you just have to have a thing where any trade that was sent through was automatically accepted, because that would be the correct thing to do if that was the premise. It wouldn't be. But I'm pleased for Thacker, because I think I beat him by a point earlier in the season when the projection was completely the other way and it was a bit of a kick in the nuts for him. So to spank me by 150 points is well played.
Yeah, fair. Even now looking at Thacker's team, next season, if his team carries on doing this, then he's got a great opportunity to kind of carry on. But it's ifs and buts. And your team, as you say, we said at the beginning of the season, you've got so many good young players that next season, if they all then take that next step, which you expect them to, it's hopefully going to put you in good stead as well, especially with the capital that you've got this season's draft too.
We shall see. Although if Brady retires and Aaron Rodgers is no longer the Green Bay quarterback and decides to not play football anymore, I hope Geno Smith is starting next year in Seattle, or I'm in all sorts of quarterback trouble as well.
Well, to be fair, there's quite a few around the league that I'm sure someone will do a little deal with you.
There's a lot of word going around being the main man next year, so you could be in luck. You could be in luck.
Love it. Where were we at?
It's me. Right then. The big Wrexham battle was going off this week. Storm and his Wrex City Thunder gave Rob and his witching hour a target of 374. Was this going into Monday night? Yeah. It was a 65-point gap going into Monday night with Rob on 309. And the final score after a crazy matchup eventually finished 374 to 378, handing a much-needed win for Rob and the witching hour, screaming his playoff run into clearer vision. And Stormo, aiming for that bye week, just misses out on the dub. I mean, what are you going to do if you're losing on 374?
It's just nuts, is that, isn't it?
That's 2 weeks of scoring for me.
Oh, mate, I don't even, like, Rob texts me, like, or we put it in our chat about that he's got a good feeling. And you know what? You could do teams pretty, you know, it's on a good roll. And then it was pretty close, and I was happy. And then Jacob started going a bit nuts. I was like, okay, Jacob, you need to calm the fuck down.
91
points for Jacobs. And then obviously, notification, because I, after the Charlie game, I was spent. My emotions were done. My nails were done. I was like, I'm going to fuck a bed. And that Raiders game went into OT. I've got a notification. Jacobs is questionable. I was like, oh, okay, thank fuck. He's just stopped running anyway. And then as I got upstairs, I got another notification. Oh, Jacobs pulls off an 82-yard overtime game-winning touchdown. I was like, what the f-? I was like, how was that? You just told me he wasn't playing, man. And then checked his score, and I was like, oh, God. So, yeah, and then the buffer I had, I was like, okay, you know, I'd rather have the points on the board. Happy.
Yeah, you always say yeah. You go into the Monday night games with 374 points, you're kind of thinking, well, we're in a good position here.
Well, you know, rather take the points on the board. Then saw, obviously, JT and Pittman to play, and I was like, okay, I know they're the two main, you know, men in Indianapolis, and I was like, okay, come on, Steelers, come on, TJ. Hit them. So I did my usual thing, woke up in the morning, straight to the box score. I was like, oh, God. 20 carries for JT, one touchdown. Oh, God. Pittman, one touchdown. I was like, oh, fuck, this is going to be close. I was like, oh, I don't want to check. And then I checked the score this morning. I was like, oh, God damn it.
4 points in it. 4 points.
And then I was like, you know, if you get 374 and you lose to 378, is
to be honest.
But, yeah, and if you look at, like, the thing I set, pretty much, I think my highest score I could have set was 379. So I couldn't have set a stronger team. But then if you look at Rob's team, Rob could have set a score of 475. That's how good a week he had this week.
Holy shit, 475.
How mad is that?
That is nuts.
So yeah, if he had put in the, you know, he left, he played Zay Jones and stuff like that. He could have, if he had set his optimum lineup, would have scored 475. Which is... So, yeah, that's, you know, I just hold my hands up and pull my pants down, use sawdust and take it like a man. There's not a lot else you can do.
Well, yeah, props
to you, Rob.
His bench with Zeke, 33 points. Foreman, 35 points. Who else? Zay Jones, 42 points.
I was baffled that he put smiling internally. But, yeah, he's got a good selection of running backs that are available to him at the minute, so... another one with tough decisions. But yeah, there's not a lot. You know, ouch. And then I think having that 500-point gap on the plate, on the people, kind of gives me almost another win, if you kind of look at it that way.
Yeah.
So if you... Ollie's on 3,000 points, 3,090. I'm on 4,200 points for, so 1,200 points should keep me...
Slightly
ahead on the points four column.
Yep.
But yeah, what else can I say? Well played, Rob. Well played, mate.
So again, another week where you absolutely annihilate the points, but that opposition gets as many points and more, and does their best week of the season against you.
Yeah, Rob's highest score of the season as well. So.
Yeah,
that crazy that win for Rob. I've got Rob's first round pick, and I think that win for Rob. I'm not gonna curse him or anything, but I think that might see him into the playoff. which is a massive thing for him, but killer for that first round pick. Whereas I think if Storm, if you'd have beaten Rob, he'd have been down at 5-7 with Dan, and it would have, I think, just selfishly, I
Dan's ahead of him on points scored, so we're ahead of him.
Yeah. Bugger.
Still a couple of games to go, so that from a lot of movement still to be had.
Yeah, there's still it's so close. I mean, we'll get to the table in a minute, but it's so close. Even Thacker's team is still in the mix. Yeah, I'm not putting Mark's team in the mix because we'll get to him in a minute. But
okay, let's move on to that one. So let's finish up with your game, Pitt. Your strong side Cornbread went up against Mark, and as you're rolling with Mahomes or lying down with Mahomes or laying down with Mahomes' brother, whatever you want to call it. Mark had a low score of 172, and Pitt's already at 249 with players still to play on Monday. It was a nice, easy win for you, taking you into the final 2 weeks. Final score was 291 to 172, and pretty much secured you a playoff spot, Pitt.
Yeah, I've got a star next to my name, which is good. I think this is the earliest I've ever had a star next to my name in the season. The last two seasons that we've had, I've gone down to the wire the last day of the season. I've had to pull off a win to make sure I got into the playoffs. So it's a nice feeling being up there with a star with still 2 weeks to go, which is... I mean, there's still a lot to kind of play for, but yeah, it was at the beginning. Actually, I actually was worried that his team could end up beating me, and then some things went against him. I was like, oh no, I've got this. This is easy. But I think the biggest thing was Travis Etienne going down,
getting injured
really at the very beginning. I was like, oh, good, 2 points. Yeah, we're okay.
We'll take that.
Yeah. I mean, my team didn't really perform, though, either. When Kamara, 12 points. Williams only got 24 points. He had a fumble and a fumble loss, which took a lot of points off. I had to play Jacoby Myers, which isn't great.
Jacobs, yeah.
Yeah. Van Jefferson I had to put in as well. So, like, Kenyon Drake, who was having to be played. Everything, it was... I mean, I'm big woe is me to get a star next to my name in the playoffs. So, it's... a little bit scary that a lot of my players are still not firing coming into this time of year, which is not good.
Yeah, yeah, that could be a little bit worrying, but, you're there, so you worry about that in 3 weeks. You don't have to worry about anything else till then.
Very true.
You only beat what's in front of you.
Yeah, and that was an easy one this week. Because Mark's team is shit. No, big. He had big injuries, and that didn't help him. And he's looking odds on now to be the number one overall pick. We'll see how he gets on with the rest of the season.
Pitsy, you've got Amir Abdullah on your bench, and obviously you were never going to start him. But he scored 25 fucking points off 3 carries for 16 yards, 3 receptions for 39 yards, and a touchdown. Like. Did Las Vegas do anything else apart from use their running backs in that game? I mean, geez.
I don't think so.
No, because Adams almost went in.
I thought, you know what? I was going to put him in because originally Jacobs was questionable. And I thought, oh, he might actually get some more points here. And then I thought, well, then sorry, he was playing. So I kind of took him back out of my team again and put Jacoby Myers back in, which was a mistake, but.
Have you seen that mad thing about Jacobs as well? He set a franchise record with that weekend last weekend, and then he's not going to practice all week because of his calf injury, which hampered him in the game.
Yeah, I did read that.
Was it you, Stocks, or was it Dan who mentioned that? Who might not even been in? It might have been in the 5 yard chat. I can't remember. There was someone who was talking about the fact that Jacobs. He wasn't picked up on his fifth-year option. He's still not got a contract. Not got a contract next season. Yet he's still playing his tits off. Is he the highest? He's got the most yards as a running back this season at the moment, hasn't he?
Yeah, especially with this week's game. Yeah,
it's just nuts.
He's got to, isn't he? Because running backs don't last at any time, and if he wants to get that second contract. which hasn't been picked up by the Raiders. He's either got to play well and hope the Raiders re-sign him to a new contract.
With some money, yeah.
With some money, or hope somebody else wants to sign him. And then he's good enough to get a second contract. So it'll be interesting to see what he does money-wise, whether he accepts a contract anywhere or pushes for really big money, like 16-plus a year, and limits his options to a team that's stupid enough to sign him for that. Because I'm no disrespect to Josh Jacobs, but running backs don't last. We've seen it with Zeke.
He just looked like Le'Veon Bell trying to call out for more money, which his biggest mistake was taking that year out, signing and finding out that he was in the wrong situation and he wasn't actually as good as they said. It was just the Steelers' offense was actually that good to make him that good.
Yeah.
It's a tough one, but like the Raiders are run like a fucking toilet, though, aren't they? Just didn't re-sign any of the rookies that year or give them 50. They've already cut Ferrell. They've got Allen that didn't get the same fifth-year option as Jacobs. So, yeah, it's just the organization's run weird. And I think it'll be a massive loss and try and re-sign it.
Yeah, big time. He's a good running back. I just really hope he does not get injured in the next few games where he's going to be needed, well, like for himself, needing that kind of push for the free agency.
Yeah.
Well, I'll appreciate it if he doesn't actually play this weekend. That'd be good. Not just because of Rob, it's just because the Chargers are playing the Raiders. So, and everyone knows the Chargers can't stop the run. So, just take a week, Jacob. Take a week, just mate.
Just chill, mate. Get that calf sorted.
Yeah, take a week. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. The Raiders are shit. You might be good, but the Raiders are still shit. So,
yeah.
Take a week.
Yeah, fair. Right, game's done. Stormo, champions, go.
We are the champions, my friend. Right. So, yeah, good, nice. Highest scoring quarterback this week for Susie, Justin Herbert, 69 points. Hurts for Simon, 63 points. Who do you think was the third highest scoring quarterback?
It wasn't Mike White, was it?
It was Mike White, 62 points, yes! Free agent.
Get in.
Get in, son.
Good on you.
Highest score in running back, and potentially the highest score of the season, 91. Obviously, I'll check that. Rob, if you could start check that at some point and let me know, that'd be good. Sanders, for you, Pitts, 55 points. Chubb, for me, 47 points. High scoring wide receiver, Godwin, 43 points for Suze. Zay Jones for Rob. I haven't written how many points he scored, but we have mentioned it in the pod. Then Jefferson's
43.
Yeah, I think you're around there. 43-ish, yeah, because Jefferson scored 42 and he's in third. Woods for Rob, Jelani Woods, 28 points. Schultz for Dan, 25 points. And Oliver, free agent from Baltimore, 24 points.
I was just about to say, who the fuck is Oliver and who does he play for?
Oliver plays for the Ravens.
What do I need to do?
He's a tight end. Plays for the Ravens.
Which is weird, because obviously you've got the Ravens tight end, haven't you, Stocks?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, what happened there? That was stupid.
Yeah, and I think you've got to be desperate to handcuff tight ends in this league.
Yeah.
And so Stocks and I were quite well for you, mate. Kicker, Falk for Simon, 15 points. High scoring D, Dolphins, 54. Niners scored 46 points for Mark. And the Steelers, for you, Pitsy, scored 42 points.
Yes, the Steelers. You talk about Steelers. Like one player kind of coming back in and like...
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. They've gone from 9 points to 49 points or whatever it was you just said. Right.
42.
Do you want to go crazy with the kickers for a second? Top player you said was Nick Folk, who was in Simon's team. Yeah. Who was second in the league?
Who scored second most points?
Yeah.
Myers?
Nope. It was Sanders, also on Simon's team.
That's the one. Yeah.
Sanders. Top two kickers in his team for the last week was, that's stupid.
And that's at least then, you know, at least one of them scores the same point, so you don't feel too bad because it's the same same, even though you lost. Like, if he had lost by 4 points and played the wrong kicker, or,
oh, man,
you know what I mean? That'd be a killer. Daka would be straight on the pod tomorrow and, you know, and on the group chat, letting you know how much kickers bloody matter.
Stormo, I've done your stat check for you. Sorry, Rob. The highest score of the season is Tua in week two, scored 95.5 points.
Oh, nice. Thanks, mate. Appreciate that.
I got you.
Appreciate that. So, yeah, the highest scoring non-starter, let's go into that. So, my boy Kirk has come back from his absolute fucking burial he had last week to the Cowboys. He's minus if 2 points.
If you started Kirk Cousins, Stormo, you'd have won.
Would I have? Oh, my boy. My boy.
You like that?
I do like that, but I can't start him. I can't.
Not over Mahomes.
Well, it does hurt. I can just see him dangling in his chains with his chest hair, bouncing around on that airplane, laughing at me. Samaji, Piran, Pirani. We have this thing at work, and we just say the guy's name as oddly as we can.
Like it.
And these are to come up with. So he scored 41 points for Salmon on his bench.
Is that like a little bit like Aaron?
Yeah, kind of like Aaron. Yeah, Piran, Samaji, Piran. We can get people that don't even play football to try and say his name, because he's just got one of those names.
Yeah.
Zay Jones for Rob. Woods for Rob, 42 points and 28 points on the bench. Falk on the bench for Simon, who we knew was the highest scoring kicker with Sanders. And then, you know, if we do any prizes this year, the prize for not starting the right defense is Mark. Niners defense, because he started the Cowboys defense, obviously, like we told him to. And the Niners scored 46 points.
It's got nothing to do with us.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do. Let's make up your own mind, mate. Don't listen to us.
What do we know?
Yeah, those are your champions of the week. Samaji Piran.
Right then, we have got two games to go. So this is how the table shapes up right this second. Okay, down in 10th place, Mark, 4-8. Followed very closely in 9th place by Thacker, 4-8. But we already have seen Thacker's rise to the occasion with the last 2 weeks of well over 300 points. So we'll see how he gets on. 8th place, 5-7, Stocks. That is you, loving life as you tumble back down the table again. Secretly laughing inside, I think. 7th place is Dan, 5-7, so equal with you, Stocks. This is probably the lowest I think that Dan has ever been. He's always
that makes me happy because I've got that pick.
Ooh.
Sorry, Stocks.
That's right.
And this is the best bit of that, I think, of the whole week. In 6th place in the first playoff spot at this moment in time. Granted, like I say, there's still got two games to go. But Ollie and his Gotham City Rogues, 6-6. He is up at 500, which is amazing. The fact that he's in 6th place is amazing. So, yeah, awesome with that. There is 3 teams, actually, on 6-6. So, 5th place, Rob, 6-6. And Stormo, you are in 4th on 6-6. We talked about you having that amazing points difference that kind of puts you on the top of those 3 6-6 teams. Susie, with her win this week, gets her to 3rd place in 7-6. 1 game off 2nd place, Simon, on 8-4. But Simon does have a big star next to his name to say he's confirmed in the playoffs. And at the top, I am 9-3 with a big star next to my name too. Exciting times.
Yeah, mate.
Two games to go, and even Mark and Thacker down at 9-10. Technically, we've been 2 games away from Ollie, Rob and Storm. Well, I say Storm, it's probably not Storm in this thing because he's got a billion points more than everybody else. But Rob and Ollie, yeah, they're still 2 games away. But if they win those 2 games, the potential to be, obviously they need to win something to kind of knock Thacker out
Dan and Stocks, obviously, one game out. Still got two games to go. Everything's to play for. Everything is to play for.
Yeah, between 4 and 10, there's still loads of movement can still happen, can't they? So,
yeah. Mathematically, lots can move.
Yeah.
Madness. Whether it actually happens or not is different, because obviously there's so many factors in that. There's, we obviously spoke to you last week about the last three remaining games for every team. There's a lot of the teams at the bottom all playing each other.
Yeah, there's some big games coming up.
I don't want to be a spoiler for the Week 13 preview show, and I won't, but the games that are this week couldn't be worse for me.
Yeah, I've had a look a bit further on for that last it's next week, isn't it? Yeah, there's the last week 14 as well. Week 13 and 14, there's so many things that can either make week 14 null and void, or it could actually make week 14 like the most exciting week that we've probably ever had in the Ballers Dynasty League.
The bottom six or the bottom five are just going to eat each other stupid in the last 2 weeks, and it's just going to be a dirty mess.
Yeah. I think the top five are all kind of looking at those bottom five thinking, well, I'm glad that they're all fighting it out, because that helps us massively.
It's very much a case of rich and poor at the moment. You guys up there are just jollying along, and we're here kicking the shit out of each other for fun.
Yeah. I know this is obviously not the Ballers League, but Stocks, I still need to talk to you about the Red Zone League.
Oh, what's happened in that?
Oh, yeah, because I sent a screenshot to Storm before Monday night and what may or may not happen. And obviously, Harris getting injured massively fucked my chances. And Stocks eventually got the win, unfortunately.
So Stocks still remains unbeaten.
Yeah.
I'm right.
So bottom of the table, me, little old me, bottom of the table. I had the opportunity to take down the 11-0 Stocks team.
Reigning champ.
Two-time reigning champ.
And you fucked it.
I did, yeah.
You mocked it, did you? You mocked it.
I did, yeah. But I big time choked.
Oh, mate. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
the differences between my team in that and the team in this are stark, shall we say?
Oh, yeah, absolutely huge. Massive. Yeah. I'm
expecting that, so
I am the Thacker though at this of this league being down at the bottom though. My team seems to be getting some big points and just losing all the time.
I know, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Cool. Mate. It's a shit one.
It is. Yes.
Pull your skirt up and get on with it.
Yeah, it's true. I did pick up a very weak team to start off, so I'm quite happy with where I am, even though I'm at the bottom. I'm in a strong position, I think.
Yeah, to be fair to those people that pick up, you know, take on a dynasty team that's not you haven't drafted. That's you deserve credit for that in the first place. So, and that goes out to anyone out there that's done that. So keep right, going. Stocks. Keep your chin up.
Yeah, you could do one like me. Pick up a team that was in the final and then just burn it to the fucking ground.
Yeah, you could do that.
You just wanted to give yourself a nice little challenge, because then in 3 years' time when you're shitting all over us, then you'll be laughing at us. Going, can you remember when I did all these moves and you all laughed at me? Now look at me now.
I don't think the front office will let me hang around for that long if we continue. But
okay. Well, we'll see. Boys, it's been an epic one, as always. Love it. Love chatting to you. And it reminded me of the good times with the book club coming up soon.
Yeah.
Oh, the book club.
Oh, book club.
Love that.
Yeah. Always good, Stocksy. Thanks for coming on, mate.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm sure I'll be back.
Damn right you'll be back. I'm going to make sure that you get on. Hopefully it won't be in like 7 weeks' time when it's taken that long for Thacker to get himself back together again.
Yeah, mate.
Until next time.
Until next time. Do you even have ballers?